Presenter today is Mary Davis, who's with the North Carolina Institute of Public Health and the North Carolina PERC.
Well, good morning. First of all, I want to thank John for putting this session together and for keeping us on time and for bringing together a lot of stuff around H1N1. We thought this up in September sometime, so this is pretty amazing, and I'm glad you're all here and very engaged and interested. I'm going to take us back up to 30,000 feet and say, you know, it was pretty astounding to us that I'm going to build on really what Cammie and Glenn have talked about and hopefully filter in a few things from our other presenters as well. We were really surprised when 9 health departments said, yes, come on in and do full-blown after-action reviews with us, and yes, we're going to give you our time to do this. And I wonder if our other presenters in other places have had similar reactions about the participation rates of health departments in a number of these activities. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what we've been doing at the North Carolina Institute for Public Health and our various programs to get these sorts of participation rates in our research. Our local health department, public health system, if you will, in North Carolina, Glenn mentioned this a little bit. We have 86 local autonomous health departments, including one tribal. It covers all of our 100 counties, so we have multi-jurisdictional counties. We have 5 different types of health department arrangements, from consortia to local health agency authorities. So we run the gamut of what you can find in local public health in our state. We also have a strong state division of public health. And I'm with the North Carolina Institute for Public Health. We're the service and outreach arm for the UNC Gilling School of Global Public Health. So we have our academic health departments, but we're celebrating our 10th anniversary at the Institute, and our role is service and outreach to our local and state health departments. We're out there training, technical assistance. I do program planning and evaluation. So I think about this as our participation paradigm. When I started the Institute in 2001, and we started as one of the original preparedness centers, one of the original 4, and then they were expanded. And like many other preparedness centers, we did a workforce assessment on preparedness capacities of local public health agency personnel. And we had a multi-phased implementation, and our original response rate was 42% across the state responded to our survey. So it was pretty poor participation. And it wasn't until the Division of Public Health said you can't get your bioterrorism funding until 75% of your agency personnel participate in this study. So they had to bring sort of a hard stick in to get that participation rate up. Well, flash forward to 2009. We had our 9 health departments participated in our after-action reviews. But in the meantime, our PERC Center had studies going on, 4 simultaneous studies throughout the state, and we had 98% participation rate by all of our health departments in 4 simultaneous studies. Also, we're doing other accreditation research, and we've had 10 of 10 health departments volunteer and say, yes, we will participate in your case studies around accreditation. And in the month of October, we did 6 of 6. No one turned us down, and we did 6 in 1 month. And these are interviews with your health director, your director of nursing, et cetera. So how have we really worked to change this participation paradigm? Well, there's some keys that we've worked on in the last 10 years. When we did that initial survey of preparedness capacities in the workforce, you know, we did what everybody does. We just sent the survey out to the health department personnel. And that's how we got our lousy response rate. So what we've been doing over the last 10 years is really establishing, cultivating, and maintaining individual and organizational relationship with our local health directors association and with our state division of public health. So we know the local health director association committee structure. They have a monthly meeting. We know, for example, in the PERC studies, we knew we had to go through their EPI and surveillance committee. We know that in order for us to get an entree into the local health departments, we have to work within their structures. On a monthly basis, our directors at the Institute for Public Health meet with the state division management team, and we talk about shared issues. So the participation paradigm changes from, oh, let's just send things out cold, to how do we work within their structures. We, as I mentioned, we attend their meetings. We listen to their questions. What do they want to know? What are they asking about? When we put the after action review studies together, we said, you know what, these are our questions, but are they their questions? What are the tangible things that they can get out of it? And we provide real and tangible benefits in our when we ask them to participate. The after action review can be an expensive and costly thing to contract out, and usually that's how it's done. We're providing that back to all the health departments for free. We also have incorporated into our research grant funding real incentives for participation. So, for example, in the accreditation studies that we're doing, for all the health departments that participate, they get registrations to meetings paid for by our research. So our recent ones went to our North Carolina Public Health Association meeting. We pay for a staff member to go, or the state health director's meeting. Or we offer tangible benefits such as surveillance books that they really like to have but don't have the money to pay for. In the past, we paid for equipment purchases. And then the other thing that we did in this particular research is we worked through established and implemented processes in our PERC. We have a research and translation committee, and I think, Glenn, was this required by CDC? Do you remember? Not necessarily. One of the things about the PERC centers that CDC funded is you did have to demonstrate that you weren't just doing your research and holding it yourself. You had to demonstrate how you were going to disseminate the results to the field. We have a research and translation committee made up of our researchers, but also we have the state division of public health represented there. We have a local health department liaison represented there. And so they actually actively participate. And it was at our May meeting of this committee that the PERCs, H1N1 studies were discussed, and we talked about with the State Division of Public Health what their questions were and what they needed to know. And then we worked through the various liaisons and committees I talked about. Our project director does incredible work to coordinate the studies. She has a really great grid that says this project's going to be in the field in these counties on these dates, and it goes through each project. So you know who is doing what and where, and if a health director has a call or concern, you can immediately answer that and say, yes, we're going to be in your county on these dates. We ask questions that are timely and meaningful. We tried to collect only essential new data, using as much existing data as possible. And then we're also doing some analysis for the State Division of Public Health. So it becomes a real trade-off of what our research interests are and what their local and state needs are. So that's a quick overview of some things that we've sort of started to really process and understand at a higher level. And I'll close it out there and see if there's any questions.
Give me 30 more seconds. I would like to thank all of our presenters for staying on time, the quality of work that they are reporting on, and the timeliness in which they've put this together. I would also like to thank again the Centers for Disease Control for funding the Preparedness and Emergency Response Research Centers, and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation that sponsors the practice-based research networks. And if you want to know more about the PBRNs, they have a session this afternoon in this hotel at 2:30 in the Congress A room. And it's session 3327. And I thank you all for coming. And if you have any questions, I'm sure we'd be happy to do what we can to answer them. So.
Thanks, John.